T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
.com. Studs, let's go.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. Man, a full show. An opportunity to do a full show. And we get the opportunity to do the show on the road here at Caliendo's in Winfield. This place is going to fill up really fast. I knew that we were in trouble of having a full house here when I showed up at 4:30 and there were a bunch of tables that were already reserved. So folks are going to be here for the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. Lance Briggs is going to be my guest at 7 o'clock. We're going to discuss all things Bears with him from 7 until 8:30. We may even throw in a little Avengers Endgame stuff with him as well. Whatever else is on our mind, you can be a part of the show at 312-644-6767. This hour is being brought to you by Cars for Kids. Call 1-877-CARS with a K, the number 4-KIDS. The other things that we're going to do on tonight's show: Jim Ozarski from the Journal Sentinel up in Milwaukee is going to join me at 9. I really like Jim. He's a local kid from Oak Forest who's made good covering the Bengals and now the Packers. And we're going to talk about Bears-Packers because, believe it or not, it's actually Packers week. So we'll wait until 9 to get there. But we are going to get there with Jim and talk about what's happened up in Green Bay and as it pertains to the Bears and where their standing is in the NFC North, which they have a chance to win on Sunday if they win or the Vikings lose. Like, that's what last night's game put in play for the Bears. I want to talk about the Bears with you. And I said it when I was talking with McNeil and Parkins. Oh, wait, before I get to the setup, we're going to talk with Ricky O'Donnell. Man, I posted the piece that he wrote about the Bulls on my Twitter account. You should go read it because he's saying everything that you're thinking as a Bulls fan, and he's saying it with a much harsher tone. It is. I'm looking for the lies in it, and I haven't been able to find any. But we're going to talk with him at 6:40. He's bringing his flamethrower over to the Score. We're going to discuss. All right. So if you want to talk about the Bears in general, I'm down. 312-644-6767. I did have a specific question that I wanted to ask you about the Bears and the vibe. I'm big into the vibe. Shout out to Speaks. Good vibes, babe. I'm big into the vibe. Like, it, as the games have gotten bigger and bigger throughout the season, ordinarily, because I do our pregame show over at NBC Sports Chicago, I don't really go to games. But what I've done is that as the season has gone on, I found myself like leaving the house an hour earlier for games so that I can go over to Soldier Field, walk through the parking lot, talk with fans a little bit here and there, be in the South Lots, George, all of those things, because there's a vibe. There's something really special about Chicago when the Bears are good. And I wanted to ask you about that. One, I wanted to ask, have you noticed that people are happier, friendlier, or whatever on Mondays like yesterday? It was everywhere. The Bears were everywhere yesterday. And people were just in a good mood. Everyone's excited. It's a strange thing. And you know, my hypothesis is a pretty simple one when it comes to this, that the Bears are the unifying team in town. We obviously know that there's a split, and we can argue about the percentage of Cubs to White Sox fans. At this point, I think it's probably 75-25, if that. for some reason, there's a schism between Bulls fans and Blackhawks fans, too, which I think is really weird because you would think that you could just root for both, but there's that weird basketball versus hockey thing that has bubbled up over the last decade or so. And I think that with the Bears, it's just, it's very familiar, I guess, for most of us that if you're in the within the sound of my voice, you're probably old enough to remember the Bears being great. And I don't want to go all the way back to 85 necessarily, but even if we go back to 2007, I'll just tell you this. I had a conversation with two of my students today. So young 20s, one of them just, I believe, turned 21. And I was talking to them about the Super Bowl in Miami because they had asked me about Prince. And I talked about Prince's press conference that he had. And they were like, what year was that? And I was like, 2007. And then it hit me that for one of them, they were nine. They barely remember that. You know, they barely remember the Bears going to the Super Bowl. And that's how long it's been that the franchise has kind of been down. If you look at the last 7 years of Bears football, it has been laughable outside of that last season of Lovey where he gets fired for going 10-6. And then after that, it's a clown convention where you've got Tressman doing his monorail salesman thing and John Fox doing his tough guy thing. And now Nagy comes in as this breath of fresh air. And I think a lot of Bears fans were like, I'm not sure if this is going to work, because I've seen the last great thing that's coming through. And now here you are in week 15 with your team looking assured to win the division that no one gave them a chance to win outside of Halas Hall and a couple other people. I actually have a friend who picked them to go 12-4. And I think that friend ended up, and shout out to my man Nolan, because he might be right about this. And I'm going to owe him big because we bet on it. But after Sunday night, after that game and the way that game went down, you just walk around the city, and my neighborhood is notorious for being nonchalant. Hyde Park is a real, like, laid-back neighborhood. And from the beginning of the season on, I've been noticing more stuff. And I feel like I don't even think that it changed necessarily with Nagy. If I had to pinpoint a moment where I felt like things change, and you probably know where I'm going with this, it's when they traded for Khalil Mack. That's the moment where I went, oh, because you know, you started to hear through the grapevine that the Bears were maybe interested in Khalil Mack and that they might get in on him, but you were never thinking that the Bears would pull the trigger on a guy like that and then be able to extend that guy and give him, you know, $141 million. You're thinking that's not the way that the Bears as a franchise operate. So I was a little bit surprised to see that that was the case, but it changed the way that I was thinking about them. I remember it's in my podcast. Like, this speeds it up. This takes everyone to a different place. And now, like, people are hyped, and rightly so. If you're hyped about the Bears, you should be. There's really nothing standing in their way unless the quarterback plays like he played on Sunday. But even then, they were able to overcome it, which I think is great. I think there are games where the offense has overcome some lapses on defense. And you saw Sunday that the defense was able to overcome some lapses on offense. They seem very complete. And I think the Saints are more complete than people give them credit. We talk about Drew Brees and the offense, but I think that they're a pretty complete team. But outside of that, you look at the rest of the teams. There are questions about the Rams defense, although the Rams defense played really well on Sunday. There are questions about the Cowboys offense, because I don't trust their quarterback either, even though their defense is terrific. And don't even get me started about whoever is going to be the fifth or the sixth seed. If you're looking at this, to me, the most complete teams in the NFC are New Orleans and the Bears. And that's a weird place to be at this point in the season. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's go out to Dalton and talk with Jeffrey. Hey, Jeffrey, you're on the score.
Appreciate you allowing me to be on. Hey, I just wanted to comment to what you're touching on. I think it can be looked at as a little bit weird when it comes to Bears. I think the best thing I can say is my heart and my love is with the Bears. I am super glad that they're doing what they're doing because, honestly, I really didn't expect the Bears to do what they're doing. I really, because I've gotten so accustomed to the Bears of beating themselves, but they're doing better than what I thought. And I still have some reservation as far as can they go to the Super Bowl and win it. I'm still got that caution sign up, but I can assure you that I believe in the Bears and I really wish them the best. I really wish that they can go all the way, and I believe they will. I'm just gonna hold my reserves and I'm gonna let you guys go ahead and talk on it.
All right, Jeffrey. Jeffrey's out there hedging his bet. I understand that. This segment is being brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you could save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter the promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. Let me add something else to this conversation. The other reason why I think the vibe is a little bit different, I think Matt Nagy plays a big part in it. I think that his enthusiasm for the game of football seems genuine. He seems honest and trustworthy. And when it comes to the way that he deals with us, and I know that that's not the first thing that's on your mind, but the way that he's dealt with us, kind of laying out, here's what I can tell you and here's the things I can't tell you. But the things I can tell you, I will go into depth about those things so that you understand what we're doing. I think it makes us smarter, those of us in the media, it makes us smarter. And then we do our best to try to make you a smarter fan with the information that we're getting. That type of stuff, it can go underappreciated. And I rail on coaches, and I've done that in the past, that do it the opposite way, like John Fox. So I want to give bouquets to Matt Nagy for doing that, for bringing some joy back to Bears football. Even with John Fox, like, here's the thing. You didn't believe Trestman. I would say that his enthusiasm was also genuine, but you didn't believe him. You were like, this isn't going to keep working. He doesn't have a grasp of this. With John Fox, it just seemed like a guy that didn't have any joy at all. Didn't have any joy when they won, was hyper sensitive when they lost, and never kind of gave to you, the Bears fan, the embrace the Bears thing. I think the Nagy's done an incredible job of kind of galvanizing everyone and doing the Willy Wonka thing and being weird and doing all these crazy trick plays. And people are like, wow, the Bears have one of those coaches now. And I think that he's really done a great job of handling things and bringing joy to watching games. Albany Park and Chris. Hey, Chris, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. I think that the Bears have always represented like a cultural connection to the fans, perhaps stronger than any other team in the city, just that the city has always sort of gripped on to being a gritty, tough, hardworking team. And whenever the Bears have always done that, they've done it through, you know, tough defenses, players known for their intensity. They've done that for generations, decades. And I think that just whenever the team does that, it sort of brings up everyone around them. And I think that's why just everyone's in a good mood. I observed it when I lived in the central part of the state, when I lived in Wisconsin. It's just something you always see. And that's the cultural thing, kind of what I love about sports. I think that's what I see with the Bears.
All right, Chris, I appreciate it. And there have been some people that are checking in via text, and you can text us at 670-11, that are saying, oh, you know, that they represent us and they're this blue collar. I don't think that they are. I think the defense, people are more comfortable when the defense is good. And the Khalil Mack signing, like, helped with that, because I think that you were probably going, yeah, this offense is cool and everything, but it would be great if the defense were dominant. And you really kind of only needed the defense to be okay. And they've gone beyond that, and they've become one of the best defensive units in the NFL. And that's a very comfortable place for Bears fans to be. The ruckus in the background is Caliendo's. It's a really cool spot, and they're doing great stuff. On top of serving up great food, great Miller Lite products, and great pizza, they're also doing a toy drive. So if you live in the area, if you're in Wheaton, Warrenville, Winfield, St. Charles, Naperville, if you have a toy, come bring it by, because they're right across the street from the pediatric oncology unit at Central DuPage Hospital, and they're making it so that all the kids in the unit get toys at Christmas. So if you're in the area, please come by and drop off a toy, and they will get it to the kids. I really love being a part of something like that. We're going to take a break. We're going to take more of your phone calls and talk about how good it feels to be a Bears fan right now and why. The phone number is 312-644-6767. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Glad that you are here with me. We are at Caliendo's in Winfield. They got great pizza here. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. Lance Briggs is going to join me at 7 o'clock. Sometimes he sneaks in. Like, sometimes he'll just, like, be in a booth in the back. And I'm like, where were you? He's like, oh, I was writing down notes and stuff, eating pizza. So we'll see when Boogie gets here. I want to talk with him about the team. He actually, on our show on Sunday night on NBC Sports Chicago, he actually predicted that the Bears would beat the Rams by 10. He is 1 point off. He thought that the Bears' defense was going to be better than the Rams' offense, and it turned out to be the case. So I'm interested to see what other things Lance has to say about the Bears coming up this week against Aaron Rodgers. He's got good Aaron Rodgers stories, so I'm looking forward to hearing him discuss the Bears and the Packers rivalry and how I'm really happy that Minnesota lost, because I think that it keeps the Bears focused. Instead of it this being a game where maybe you go, everything's fine. Them losing and putting that carrot out there of you can win the division with a win, I think is a nice thing for Matt Nagy to use throughout the week to get the team ready. Lake Zurich and Brad. Hey, Brad, you're on The Score.
Hey, Lawrence. I love the topic that you have about how Chicago is a better place when the Bears are winning, because I agree. And I'm seeing it. I'm an elementary teacher. I teach PE K-5. And in the past, I'd always wear my Cutler jersey or something. I would get, we'll call it, some feedback from some students. This year, a couple weeks ago, I noticed a change, wearing a Bears shirt, and I'm getting compliments. And no one's saying, talking bad about it. Now, my students are always in jerseys. I have some boys, girls too, that wear jerseys every day, and all of a sudden we start seeing some Trubisky jerseys show up and some Mac jerseys, and they're coming in Monday morning excited, and we're talking about, did you see this or did you see that or what'd you think about this? So not only is the city excited, but it's trickling down to the little people, because my guys are excited every Monday and every time we can talk Bears.
I appreciate the phone call, Brad. Thanks for checking in. Let me read some of the react on text, and you can text us 67011. This from 217, Loho, do you think the vibes would be the same if the offense were dominant instead of the defense? Well, I think that you've got a pretty good balance. I really do. I think that the Bears offense has done some stuff this year that people weren't expecting. Now, there was some, when Mitch was playing great, and I was trying to tell you, like, the Tampa game is not him. Like, that was an anomaly. And I think that this game against the Rams was also an anomaly. So the truth is somewhere in the middle there. And now you're talking about, what is he, 21 touchdowns and 13 interceptions? That's about right. But the contribution that you're getting from Tariq Cohen, I wasn't sure that Allen Robinson was going to be the same player after his ACL surgery. He's been phenomenal. Like, that guy goes up and makes tough catches in traffic, just snatches the ball out of the air. Like, those are the types of things that you want from a guy that you're giving that type of money to. And it's way better than I expected him to be. Like, that playing the role of the number one has been great. Trey Burton has fallen off over the last couple of weeks, But before that, he was a game changer for them. And Taylor Gabriel, I wasn't expecting a lot. I was like, oh, well, they got kind of one of these fast slot wide receiver little dudes. And he's been more than that. He's been tough. He's been a guy that's going out there trying to make plays and beating guys. Like, some of it is scheme, and that's where the Bears are at an advantage now with Nagy, that they've got a guy that can scheme guys open. But some of it has been really good personnel moves from Ryan Pace, who I have not been a big fan of. But almost every move that he made coming into this season has worked. Even the draft picks. The fact that they have James Daniels is 20 years old, and he was out there blocking Aaron Donald on Sunday night. He's 20. And they got the scouting right. They got it right, and their offensive line did a great job on Sunday. It was really impressive. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's go out to Palatine and talk with Steve. Hey, Steve, you're on the Score.
Hey, Lawrence, thank you so much for taking my call. I greatly appreciate it. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well. What's on your mind?
Hey, so kind of what I wanted to go back to your point about Chicago, the Bears being kind of the unifying team in the city. I think you hit the nail on the head with a lot of topics. I think by having two baseball teams, you're just naturally going to have a divide by who roots for who. It's hard to unify in that. And then I think when you look at hockey, it's really such a niche sport, and the Blackhawks are so bad for so long that you kind of have this, you know, revival of the team. But now that they're bad again, you know, a lot of the bandwagoners have fallen off. The Bulls have been relatively irrelevant since the Jordan era, and even before Jordan as well. When you look at the Bears, even though they've had their lulls every few years, I think that there's been more consistency throughout the history of the organization, putting together winning seasons. You know, not limited to eras or, you know, kind of a one and done like maybe the 2005 White Sox. And I think kind of just going along with what everybody said about just a hardworking blue collar team that really likes to, you know, kind of support what the city is about. So I'll let you take what I've got and go for it.
They're also a little like I know that we like to surround ourselves with the idea of blue collar is better. They're pretty white collar too. Like, the team's got a lot of white collar going on as well. I mean, the head coach is, and I know Pennsylvania guy, but the concepts that he's running on offense are a little more white collar than they would be blue collar. In fact, we've been asking him to be more blue collar with his play calling over the last few weeks, and he actually did do it on Sunday. But I think that it's more representative than your giving total credit, and that's being representative for everyone. It's not, Chicago is not just blue collar, it is white collar, and that's okay. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with having a white collar job. People got to provide for their family whatever way it is, and that's whether you run a forklift, if you sign prescriptions, or if you design buildings. There's room for everybody in the party. And I take offense to your thoughts on the White Sox being one and done. They won 90 games in 2006 and finished third in the division. And then they were back in the playoffs in 2008, sir. And it's important to remember, because ESPN continues to forget, the White Sox won the World Series that year. And those World Series victories for them and the Cubs was pretty dope. Like, both those things were cool, but it wasn't as universal as a team can get. Same thing with the Blackhawks. Like, people were along for the party, but I don't know if they were truly invested in the Blackhawks. It was like, oh, man, this is great. The Blackhawks are winning hockey. What's hockey? Oh, cool. Great for them. Let's go party and drink up. And it's been 20 years since the Bulls have raised the championship, and that just feels like forever. Here's how long it's been since the Bulls have won a championship. I started at the Score 3 months before they won their last championship. That's how long it's been since the Bulls have won a championship. We're going to talk about the Bulls coming up in a little bit. I'm gonna get. I see there are a couple more people that want to get in. I'm gonna get to your phone call. I just wanted to read you a little bit of the story that I'm going to talk about coming up in the next segment, because it is Ricky O'Donnell for SB Nation went in on the Bulls, and I think that he said a lot of things that you are probably thinking about this team. Let me give you these two paragraphs, all right? Through it all, it's never been John Paxson's fault, at least not to his boss, who continues to make money hand over fist for the team he barely cares about. But as the chairman was lighting a cigar and celebrating the undeserved induction of Harold Baines, you crack back on Harold Baines, into baseball's Hall of Fame, his Bulls were again humiliating themselves on the national stage. This time it was under Paxson's hand-picked head coach, the man who chose to lead this team because he wanted them treated like a bunch of acneed suburban high schoolers instead of well-paid professionals. The Bulls are again the league's biggest laughingstock. Even the bleeping Kings, he'd use the real word, even the bleeping Kings are mocking them. The Kings. The level of embarrassment for the Chicago Bulls is nothing new. It's not a singular incident. Under John Paxson, disgrace isn't the exception, it's the rule. We're going to talk to Ricky O'Donnell coming up in a few minutes. Out to Salem, Wisconsin, and Joe. Hey, Joe, you're on the score.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Appreciate it.
Up here along the border, I can tell you there's a huge difference between this time this year and this time last year. And historically, you know, let's face facts. The Bears have been through a lot of down cycles more than up cycles recently, and Matt Nagy is definitely a breath of fresh air, excuse me. I like that he's innovative, and I like the fact, I don't know if it's his effect on our scouting, but this year's team, the addition of Robinson, Miller, and Gabriel to the receiving core, it's just Tariq Cohen. I mean, I haven't seen drafting like this since probably the early 80s. So whatever they're doing, I just hope we keep doing it. And thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Joe. I appreciate it. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Big Ten West champs head to the Holiday Bowl in San Diego on December 31st. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. I saw Dr. Jim Phillips at the Northwestern DePaul game. I didn't get a chance. I was in the stands, like, acting like a crazy person, wearing my DePaul gear. We'll talk with Dave Lato later on tonight. I was mad after I left the DePaul game. I was real mad. Real mad. But I wanted to say something to Dr. Jim, but I didn't get a chance. But good luck and congratulations to Northwestern Athletics, who are doing a great job. The rehab on Welsh Ryan Arena is amazing. And I think that Jim Phillips might be one of the best ADs in America. Omar's in Sacramento. Hey, Omar, you're on the score.
Nice talking to you. Thanks for taking my call. It's really exciting being a Bear fan this year with Nagy in his first year, and I'm just waiting for all three facets or all three phases of the team to come together. Instead of the defense dominating one week or the offense and special teams dominate another week. But I think as a Bears fan and looking at the job that Ryan Pace and Nagy have done with this first-year team and the youth on the team, I'm telling you, for years to come, I hope and it seems like the Bears will continue to dominate the NFC North. So thanks for taking my call. Go Bears, and we'll see how far we get in the playoffs.
Omar, I appreciate the phone call. Dominating, I don't know if I'm comfortable with saying that, because Aaron Rodgers is going to get a new coach and maybe get one that understands him and is probably better than the one that they already had. So I'd hold off on saying dominate, but definitely compete. I think that that's a fair thing to say. That they should be in the conversation every year for the next 3 or 4 years when it comes to competing for this division. We're going to take a break. A team that is not competing for a division or anything right now is the Chicago Bulls. They are a bit of a mess, and we haven't had a chance to really talk about it, because our shows have been short. We've been more Bears focused, and for good reason, because we like good stories. But there are some stories that you can't ignore, and the Bulls and their dysfunction is one of them. We're going to talk with Ricky O'Donnell of SB Nation about the blistering piece that he wrote about the Bulls, and we're going to do that next here on The Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Glad that you're hanging out with me. I am at Caliendo's in Winfield. It's the Miller Lite Top Draft Show. We have a packed house in here tonight. I don't even know, like, some of the hats that I'm seeing in here, I don't even know what to call them. You with the hat. Come on. You know that you're the guy with the hat? What kind of hat is that? Okay. All right. So some of the people here aren't too bright, but some of them are, and they're going to be here hanging out with Lance Briggs. He's going to join me at 7 o'clock. We're going to be talking a lot of Bears with him. But before that, we are going to talk a little bit about the Bulls. Yo, Ricky O'Donnell wrote a piece for SB Nation that is, if it were a talk show host, it would have been like Mike North in like 95. Like, it was that level of heat that was coming off the screen when reading it. If this thing were, let's see, what other bad like metaphor can I make here? If this thing were a pepper, it would be the ghost pepper. That's how hot this thing is that Ricky O'Donnell wrote. The title of it is, John Paxson spent 15 years building the NBA's worst culture with the Bulls. He must fire himself now. That's the name of the piece. And it goes deep after that. So I wanted to invite Ricky on because I like him. And he's so, like, when you see him, you're like, that's not the dude with the flamethrower. That seems like a really nice little dude. And he is not messing around with the Bulls at all. So I wanted to bring him on because I felt like the piece really encapsulated how Bulls fans feel about this team and their dysfunction. Ricky, thanks so much for joining me tonight. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Lauren.
Okay, what was it that prompted you to write this piece?
I think it was just everything that's happened in the last week with the Bulls that has, again, made them the laughingstock of the NBA. You can start with that Celtics game, losing by 56 points, and all the fallout that happened after that. It's easy for people, I think, to blame the players when they see that the players didn't want to show up to practice. They didn't want to practice after losing by 56 points. But the reason they lost by that much was because Jim Boylan didn't play the starters for the last 21 minutes of the game. The fact that the Bulls just suffered the worst home loss in NBA history, the worst loss in franchise history, to me, that's on Boylan. And, you know, I just felt like everything with this franchise over the last 15, 20 years that's happened, it all comes from the top down. You can fire the coach every year. You can always blame the players and drag them through the mud as they exit town. But all the problems with this franchise have started from the top down. That begins with Jerry Reinsdorf. And after that, it's John Paxson, who is now on season number 15 or 16 with the Bulls. This is all on him to me. And until there's a change at the top, nothing is actually going to change with this franchise.
Why has Jerry Reinsdorf been so loyal to John Paxson and John Paxson so loyal to Gar Foreman?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, Reinsdorf just doesn't really care about the Bulls. I always make jokes that he's clutching his Paul Konerko World Series ball and just daydreaming about White Sox success while the Bulls turn into a national punchline. I really think it comes down to that. There was an old quote Reinsdorf said maybe about 5 years ago at this point where it was like, baseball is a religion, basketball is a sport. So despite the fact that he inherited Michael Jordan and had this franchise turn into a worldwide global brand, the Bulls really don't run themselves like that. They could be the Yankees, they could be the Lakers, but instead they run themselves like a mid-market team, like the Pacers, like the Bucks. And I think that Reinsdorf is very comfortable with this franchise making him a ton of money. and having it run by people he knows and trusts. John Paxson is obviously someone who has endeared himself to Reinsdorf from his playing days back in the early 90s. He did have some great moves in him, the early part of his tenure running the Bulls, but no one gets 15 years in today's NBA. And the fact that John Paxson's hiring his fifth coach, probably his sixth coach, after Jim Boylan runs himself out of town is just ridiculous.
With Paxson, I understand the idea of this is a player that can help you win championships, that was part of championship teams. And I think you're right, that early on that there was a reason to buy his brand as an executive. Where did it go off the rails?
I think that he made some good draft picks, but he always sort of failed to take the Bulls to that next level. To me, his biggest misstep over the last, 5-10 years has just been this horrible culture he's created around the team. I mean, you can start with when he choked out Vinny Del Negro in the locker room. Honestly, he should have been fired right after that. He kept his job because that's just sort of the ethos that he's installed throughout this entire franchise. You saw when Bobby Portis and Nikola Mirotic got into their fight in training camp, Portis broke Mirotic's face, but Mirotic was sort of blamed for that incident. You can go to, signing Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo, then Wade and Butler basically feuding against the younger half of the roster, Rondo having to take to Instagram to defend his teammates. You can talk about all the players he's played on injuries, from Omer Sheik, playing on a broken leg back in the 2012 playoffs, to the way they botched Luol Deng's injury back in 2009. So I think that, the culture of this franchise is just so poor, and that directly comes back to John Paxson.
In reading your piece, and you should check it out, it's on SB Nation, and it is John Paxson spent 15 years building the NBA's worst culture with the Bulls. He must fire himself now. One of the themes that I got from it, and if I'm reaching, you can tell me, is that you feel like he doesn't have a grasp of today's NBA and how to build a winner in today's NBA. And some of the evidence to that is what you were talking about with the bringing in Dwayne Wade and Rondo for a team that was trying to become a better three-point shooting team, and you bring in two of the worst three-point shooters in the league at their positions. I feel like I'm not sure that he knows how to build a championship team in the era of pace and space.
Yeah, I think Dwayne Wade is the worst signing in Chicago sports history. I mean, they basically gave him a golden parachute contract for something he did for another franchise. He comes in after they buy him out on the guaranteed second year. It's $36 million for 1 year. A big part of the reason they traded Jimmy Butler was because if they didn't, Dwayne Wade was still going to be around, wasting another year of Butler's prime when he's at a below market value contract. You can look at all the moves Paxson and Foreman have made together, overpaying Cristiano Felicio, trading Tony Snell for Michael Carter-Williams, and then keeping Carter-Williams over Spencer Dinwiddie, who's turned into a terrific point guard for the Nets. He's going to be a free agent this summer and command a really big contract. Let go of Etuan Moore, who is one of the few homegrown guys who really worked himself up to being a good player with this team, a solid 3-and-D guy, the type of role player who would have been great on a team built around Jimmy Butler. The way they totally mishandled Nikola Mirotic's entire career, playing him a small forward for some minutes early in his career because the roster was so front-court heavy. Eventually, we saw Mirotic's value last season when he came into a team that was 3-20. They immediately rattled off a 7-game winning streak. They sold low on him just so that they didn't lose him for nothing, could still get a first-round draft pick for him. But that wasn't a great move either. It's just been a lot of botched moves for the Bulls recently. And, you look at the way that Boylan has run things since he's come in. To me, that's an extension of Paxson. And, NBA players just don't get treated like this anymore. So if that's the way that John Paxson wants to run the organization, it's just not the right way to do it in 2018.
So Ricky, for the Bulls fan that's sitting there listening, they're in their car, they're listening to you, it feels so hopeless. Is there anything at all for a Bulls fan to grab onto and say, maybe at some point things are going to turn around?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the subtext, I think, of this whole column, because if they do hit the lottery and they get the first pick and they can draft Zion Williamson, the Bulls are going to be looking pretty good. I mean, to me, a superstar changes everything in the NBA. Everyone else on the Bulls roster would fall into place. Now you have Zach LaVine kind of in that Kyrie Irving Cavs role where he can create an isolation off the dribble, but he doesn't have to carry the entire offense by himself every time down the court. You have Wendell Carter's hyper-intelligent two-way game kind of elevating everyone else around him. You have Lauri Markkanen spacing the floor for Zion's drive. So my other beat at SB Nation is covering the draft. I've interviewed Zion Williamson since he was a high school player. I think he is a no-brainer as the number one pick in this draft. I also don't think it's a very deep draft. Beyond Williamson, I'm not in love with any of the other prospects available. So the Bulls will have a small chance, you know, to find their savior. And to me, that's only going to come by getting the first pick, taking Zion Williamson. And it's very similar to the last great team the Bulls built when they had Deng at number 7. They drafted Noah at number 9. They drafted Kirk Heinrich at number 7. But what was kind of the rocket ship that took them towards contention? It was winning the lottery with a 1% chance. Drafting Derrick Rose, suddenly you have the best team in the Eastern Conference. So if the Bulls can somehow win the lottery, get Zion Williamson, I think it could all change pretty quickly overnight.
But do you trust them to then hire the replacement coach for Jim Boylan after, you know, he turns into the Chris Farley character with the van down by the river?
Totally. I mean, to me, it's the same people in charge. So eventually the Bulls are going to need to clean shop. They need just smarter, more new-age people in charge. It's very similar to what happened with the Bears, honestly. If you want to compare Hoiberg to Trestman, Boylan to John Fox, the Bears need their Matt Nagy. And you just wonder if Paxson and Foreman are going to be smart enough to find that person and hire him.
Ricky, I appreciate the hard work that you put into the column, and I know that there are a lot of hear-hears and amen coming from Bulls fans that just want this team to be better. And I think that you've hit on something when you talk about the idea of culture around there. He talks about, he uses that word quite a bit, and there hasn't been a great example that the culture is or is getting better under John Paxson. So thanks for what you did, and I appreciate you jumping on the show.
Thanks for having me.
That's Ricky O'Donnell. Follow him on Twitter at @SBN_Ricky. His piece is on SB Nation. I tweeted it out a little while ago. If you want to check through my timeline at Lawrence W. Holmes, it is, it's sobering. There were things in there that I forgot that this regime has done in their tenure, and it's not good. It's not good at all. All right. How about I give something away? You've been so nice listening. Wait a minute. I got some tickets to go see Illinois versus Indiana. Are we giving those out? No? Okay. Be caller 6 to win a pair of tickets to see Illinois versus Indiana in the Elite Amateur. Oh, it's a fight. I'm like, oh, like Illinois, Indiana to Elite Amateur Fight League event at the Aragon Ballroom on Sunday, December 16th. So if you like young fighting, then you should call up to the Scores Contest line, 312-591-6700, and you will get a pair of tickets to see Illinois versus Indiana in the Elite Amateur Fight League event at the Aragon Ballroom on Sunday, December 16th. When we come back, I don't see him. You see Lance? All right, well, he'll be here eventually. It'll just be me talking about stuff, and then Lance will show up, and it'll be all good. But he is scheduled to join us, and we're going to have a good time with 55 Lance Briggs coming up. We're at Caliendo's here in Winfield. It's Miller Lite Top Draft Show. Let's go. Yeah, he is really excited. There's pizza and a guy in a weird hat and people taking shots. Back after this on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.